The message this morning is in the verses we read, verses 39 to 43 of chapter 23, particularly the promise at the very end that our Lord Jesus gave to the criminal. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Beloved Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on Easter we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, he opened the way for everyone to come into glory with him. And the Easter Gospel is a source of great hope to Christians who are about to die, as well as their loved ones who have the task of burying them after they die. And recently, many of members of this congregation have had this task. Because of Easter, we may know that death puts an end to sin and is an entrance into eternal life. In his suffering on the cross, and on the cross, our Lord Jesus believed that because of his innocence and perfect holiness, the grave could not hold him after he died. He believed that although he would die, after 3 days he would rise again, just as the scripture said. He was so convinced of his resurrection and the blessing that it would bring to everyone who believed in him that he could even promise the benefits of his resurrection to the repentant criminal when they were hanging beside each other on crosses. In his gospel, Luke tells us that the criminal beside Jesus on the cross came to have faith in Christ's resurrection from the dead, a faith that surpassed the faith of even Jesus' own disciples. They had seen Jesus raise dead people. They had heard Jesus promise his resurrection, and yet they were surprised and even unbelieving to hear of his empty tomb until they saw it with their own eyes. But this criminal, who was only seeing Jesus being put to death, a beaten man hanging on a cross to die, he believes the resurrection without seeing. The repentant criminal believed more seeing Jesus in his death than most people believe about Jesus after he has risen from the dead and who have celebrated Easter all their lives. The good news for us is that the promise that the Lord Jesus spoke to the repentant criminal is also true for every sinner who submits to Christ as Lord and King as he did. I preach this gospel under the theme, "Every sinner who repents will be with the risen Christ in paradise." We can share in Christ's innocence, and we can share in Christ's kingdom. If we look at our text, if you have that open in front of you, Luke chapter 23, verse 39 and to 43, you can see that it's made very clear that Jesus was under the same sentence of condemnation that the two criminals that were hanging on the crosses beside him were under. But Jesus was different from them because he had not sinned against God. The charge of treason was not true because he truly was the King of the Jews. The charge of blasphemy was not true because he truly was the Christ and the Son of God. He proved that he was the Christ by not coming down and saving himself from God's justice as his enemies told him he should do. And although this innocence was clearly proven by his resurrection from the dead, because God would not allow an innocent man to be under his wrath his punishment to stay in the grave. The Lord made sure that the world knew of his innocence even before he died. And he used one of the criminals beside him on the cross as a witness to the truth. If we look to the rebuke that the second criminal gave, he stated the innocence of Jesus in no uncertain terms. In verse 41, he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." And the word wrong has the sense of out of place or inappropriate. Although the criminals were being condemned to death justly, were receiving their due reward for their deeds, Jesus' condemnation was a great injustice because he was innocent. The repentant criminal recognized clearly that mocking this Jesus was an affront to God, not only because such mockery showed support for an injustice that God hates, but also because of who this Jesus was, this Jesus who forgave the sins of his oppressors around him and who clearly had a place in God's work as a king. The second criminal was shocked that the first criminal dared to put his eternal well-being in jeopardy by his insolence. He asked, "Don't you fear God?" And so the Lord turned a lowly robber into a preacher of a true and proper confession. And we do well to pay attention to the words of that criminal. It awakens us from our sinful blindness as well. He's asking the question, "Don't you realize that the Son of God that we turn away from when we sin against him has told us with his own lips that he is coming again to judge the living and the dead?" We should be astounded at this criminal's words. He was not one of Jesus' disciples who had followed him and learnt from him. And yet he recognized not only was that he was a criminal who deserved death at the hands of the Roman authorities, but he also recognized that he was a sinner who should fear God's judgment. And although he himself had nothing good that he could say about himself, the criminal professed his faith in Jesus' innocence of all accusations. This meant that he didn't believe that Jesus was a liar or a rebel against Rome, and he did believe that Jesus said was who he said he was, the Christ of God who was the King of the Jews. He believed that nothing Jesus said or did was out of place or wrong because it all fit with who he was. You see, the power of our God in changing hearts. It's a beautiful revelation of the grace of God, the immense power of the Holy Spirit who changes our hearts, who opens our eyes to see. Though he was in the dying moments of a life of rebellion, it was not too late for him to repent. And it was his repentance and his faith in Christ's innocence that made it possible for this second criminal to be with Jesus in paradise. Though he had blasphemed God during his life, just like the first criminal was doing, in the dying moments, he put his future in Christ's hands, in Christ's innocence, and he pleaded to him for mercy and for grace. He had no earthly reason to believe that Jesus was anything more than just a son of man beaten and dying like the rest of us. It was only because of God's grace that he saw the truth. He had nothing to claim for himself, nothing to offer to God to justify his request. Yet he wanted to be treated like a person who was innocent in God's sight. And that wanting was enough. In his great mercy, God heard his prayer, gave him the promise of paradise through his son, Jesus Christ. And did you see in our text how ready our Lord Jesus was to receive this criminal into his kingdom without delay? His salvation was a gift to him because of the innocence of Jesus Christ on whom he was pleading. He shared in that innocence of Christ by his confession, by faith alone, not even using sacraments. And it's a gift that our Lord Jesus is eager to share without exception to everyone who asks him for it. There is going to be a punished criminal in paradise. A criminal who was purified in the blood of Christ. A criminal who is innocent in God's eyes. And whoever repents and believes in Jesus Christ will be there beside him. Any person who wants it may share in the innocence of Christ. And we need to remember this criminal when loved ones whom we are praying for are living in rebellion. As long as they are alive, there is hope for their souls. Although it is true that it might happen that they curse God until their death and die under God's wrath like the first criminal. It's also true that God is able to change their hearts in the last hour so that they repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their only Savior. Such a last-minute repentance truly shows us how completely we all rely on the grace of God for our salvation. He was at a funeral one time, and the son of the man who had passed away, he came forward and he spoke some words and he told about how his father was a very angry man in his life, how he had cheated many people, how he had been, and he went on and on. It wasn't a eulogy, it was a malogy. Then he said, and in the end, this man heard the gospel and he repented and he's saved like the rest of us. Think about that. The grace of God extends to us, to our dying moments. Then we see that we all live by grace alone. Whether we are converted as young children and we live a long life of daily repenting, or our eyes are opened and our hearts are softened by the Holy Spirit in the hour of our death, as it happened to the second criminal, we all rely equally and completely on the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. And the urgent call of the gospel to repent continues for every one of us and in a daily way until this day. Not only because this repentance is a sure sign of our eternal election, but also because every time we repent, we are brought again into the benefits of Easter, into the benefits of Christ's resurrection. For whoever repents and believes in him can share in his innocence so that they might also share in his victory. The gospel message spoken to the criminal before Christ's resurrection from the dead resounds with even more clarity and more force today after Christ's resurrection. Easter celebrates something that happened a long time ago, but the resurrection of Christ on Easter has benefits that last right to this day. Christ's resurrection proved his righteousness. It proved that it was innocent before the Father. It proved that he could enter the home where righteousness dwells. His resurrection has made it abundantly clear. He has done nothing wrong, nothing out of place, nothing inappropriate. He is righteous, and his righteousness is ours too. When we repent, when we believe in him, it is is ours too. If we leave behind everything that we have done, even our so-called good things that are still tainted with sin, when we throw ourselves unto God's mercy to receive us as citizens of his heavenly kingdom. By God's grace, the Holy Spirit brings you into Christ's innocence by leading you to repent from your sins like the criminal did, to submit yourself to Christ, the risen King. You could share in Christ's kingdom through our faith. We see how the criminal, repentant criminal, he turned away. He turned away from one side and he turned towards Christ. He turned away from his blasphemous self that he had renounced, and he threw himself on the mercy of Jesus Christ before him with his empty hands, with nothing to give. Then he addressed the man he recognized as the innocent king by his first name. Look at that in verse 42. He said, Jesus. And that draws our attention because no one else is recorded in Scripture addressing our Lord just by this name. It shows there's a familiarity. Although the criminal was probably an older man and his background was so completely different than this full-time rabbi, when he called Jesus by his first name, he showed that he felt a bond. He felt very close to this unjustly condemned man. And isn't that the way it is? Wherever you may be in this life, when you come to know the manifestation of God's love in the person of Jesus Christ, who took on our human flesh to die for us, you do not feel judged. You do not feel condemned. He is a Savior who is beside us, a Savior who knows the trauma, a Savior who loves us all the same. Our Savior is one who will receive you. Even if you only manage to turn to him in the dying moments of your life, God manifested his love by taking on human flesh, by coming beside sinners in their struggle to call them to the light, by walking beside them in compassion and patience as they leave their rebellion, so much so that this criminal can turn to him and address him by his first name, Jesus, remember me. This is the same kind of approachable love that our Lord calls us to reflect our Lord Jesus in the world around us means not excluding, not ignoring, not condemning the sinner in his darkness, not looking down our noses at those in such suffering. It's a calling to love, to compassion, to accompanying those around us, and to the hope that is found only in Christ. Makes us ask the question, do we make an effort to understand the needs of everyone we meet, no matter what their background is? Do they find us one that they can approach us? Are we approachable, non-condemning, as we hold out the hope of paradise to every sinner who repents? Do you have empathy like our Lord Jesus that makes even struggling people feel that they can be close to you? Although the criminal called our Lord by his name Jesus, he also was fully convinced that Jesus was much more than he looked like. And so he asked him that question in verse 42. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. One of the reformers of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, his name was John Calvin. In his commentary on this verse, he wrote, I know not that since the creation of the world, there ever was a more remarkable and striking example of faith. Although all that repentant criminal could see was a broken man, cursed by God and man on the cross, the Spirit opened his mind to see already the glory of heaven in the depth of hell. The criminal believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to glory before the tomb was even filled with the dead body of his Lord. He believed, together with our Lord, that what we celebrate today on Easter, that it would happen. He believed that the kingdom belonged to Jesus Christ. He believed that that broken body beside him would one day reign in glory. He believed, and although he may not have understood when it would all take place, he wanted to be a part of this kingdom. That's how he showed his faith was genuine. That's how you show your faith is genuine, that longing to be a faithful citizen of God's heavenly kingdom. That's a faith worked in our hearts only by the Holy Spirit. Well, in his compassion and his grace, our Lord Jesus responded, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the only time our Lord Jesus used the phrase, "Truly I say to you," to address an individual. He assures the man in such a strong way so that the repentant criminal can die in all that suffering in peace. He assures him he'll be with him today. There'd be no delay. There would be no need for a time of purgatory. There would be death, and then for his soul, his soul would be in paradise. And the Lord Jesus also said that he would be with the criminal in paradise. That's a very striking thought, and many have noted that it sounds like Jesus is telling the criminal that his soul would immediately be in paradise that very day with the criminals, which would mean that Jesus would have a taste of paradise before his soul was reunited with his glorified body that came out from the tomb on Easter morning. There's a lot of debate how that works. Jesus doesn't enter into that point. But whatever Jesus meant to reveal about himself, he spoke the words to the repentant criminal so that he would know that on that very day he would be in paradise. The word paradise is a word that means garden. It's often a reference to the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve lived in before the fall. But then as you continue to read through the scriptures, you can see that reference to paradise, to that garden, is a reference to a place of transcendent blessedness, or as we often call it, heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, when Paul is speaking about that vision that he had, he says that he knows a man who was caught up to the third heaven, that this man was caught up into paradise, where he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. In Revelation 2, verse 7, Jesus promised his churches who overcome that they will eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. We see that coming back in Revelation 22. Acts confirms that Jesus Christ himself will be there after we die, because in Acts 3, verse 21 and 7, verse 55, we learn that heaven has received the ascended Christ until the time for restoring all things. Since the repentant criminal's immediate transition to paradise seems to coincide with other scriptural teaching about our ongoing life after we die, like we read about in John 11, verses 25 to 26, where our Lord says, "Even though you die, yet he will live." Or the parable in Luke 16 about that poor man who was at the rich man's gate begging, the poor man Lazarus, being immediately carried by the angels to Abraham's side after he died. We see that word paradise that Jesus Christ was talking about is adding to our knowledge about what we can expect when we die. We too look forward to this paradise. We can comfort everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ and Savior, who defeated death, who reigns as King, that they too can look forward to paradise. Now, what this paradise looks like, how it is experienced by those who have died already, how it relates to the new Jerusalem and the new heavens and the earth that we expect when Christ returns on the clouds, that's not all known to us in detail. But we do know that this promise to be in paradise after we die is a promise of peace with God Most High, not judgment, but paradise, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, continuing to serve Him in His kingdom. We start right now. We may continue in Christ. Well, Jesus' words to the repentant criminal give us a clear picture of the consequences of His victory over death for everyone who believes that their sins have been paid for by the shed blood of Christ on the cross. When the repentant criminal asked Jesus in his desire to be with the Savior, "Remember me whenever you might be crowned as king of this kingdom," his king told him that he would be with him today in heaven's garden. And if even a criminal who repents at the last minute could share in this righteousness and innocence, how much more we who already believe, who are already united to Christ by true faith. Christ's resurrection, we confess, is a sure pledge of our glorious resurrection. We can be sure that every sinner who repents will be with the risen Christ in paradise. And so we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We encourage one another. Maybe we be ready for His return. May we be serving as citizens of His kingdom already now. May we be filled with hope and certainty that we gain from our Easter celebration. For when the risen Christ returns again in glory, He will remember us as His own. Take us with Him to paradise. Amen.